Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, very funny comedian comes in, Brad Williams, talk about life during quarantine and much more. Always inspiring, always funny, and he always brings out the funny in me. So get ready to enjoy some of that. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. The recent Barnes & Noble cyber attack exposed customer email addresses, billing and shipping addresses, phone numbers, and transaction histories as well. Plus, some customers can't even access their Nook ebook libraries. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. We put our info at risk on the internet. You could miss certain threats just by monitoring your credit alone. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information, they will send you an alert. Protect yourself with LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No, we prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Thanks to everyone who joined our very first stereo app call with Coleman Hughes. I really appreciate the positive feedback and having you contribute to the conversation. Joining me this Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific is longtime friend Polly Shore. And the stereo app experience keeps getting better for Adam Carolla fans. We're selecting one listener from my call with Polly at random, and we're going to award that person $500. Make sure you listen through the entire call. That's the best way to get noticed. Go to the App Store and download the stereo app. You won't want to miss out on the fly-in-the-wall experience that is stereo, plus the opportunity to win $500. It's a great, unique way to enjoy audio content, and it can only be understood by tuning in. That's the stereo app, 3 p.m. Pacific, this Tuesday, November 3rd. I'll see you there.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Brad Williams, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, reminding you to vote your interest, not your identity, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. I'm the man that you get it on, man. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. Handball, Brian.
Oh, we got a frozen.
Living the dream, yes. Positive energy.
It was worth it.
Yes, Brad Williams is coming in to studio. So he's going to be here and bringing the funny. So we got that working for us today. So there's a couple things. First off, a little controversy from the TiVo game.
Yeah.
Controversy.
Oh.
Got some
Did
tweets.
I win?
Got some people were upset about it. Dawson is very upset because he's a purist, and I think he feels like the sanctity of the game was destroyed. Dawson, feelings.
We got some revelations that are really going to blow you away and throw everything into question. Everything you think you know, everything you thought you knew about your staff. It's going to be thrown into question.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give anything away because I don't know exactly what he's talking about. But I went back after the game and listened to the game film, and I mean all of it. And I take umbrage with at least two things. So I cannot wait to find out what the revelation is.
Well, Gina, I went back too and listened to my heart, and I know who actually won.
I'm sure you did. So but there was some kinky business happening.
The outcome, this just in, Dawson got the 10 taco value pack from Del Taco today.
Don't carry the lead.
What's the meat in the tacos, Dawson?
Oh, it's just the standard Del Taco value taco, 79 cents.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get 10 of those.
How many do we do in one sitting?
I put away six before the show started. I got four left, I think.
We're going to do the four during the remainder of the show?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
After this controversy.
10 Del Taco tacos.
Yeah, this is actually so upsetting to me that I lost my appetite. for like 20 minutes. Yeah. So we're going to do this. Then I'll get back into the tacos when I feel better.
His, yeah, he was struggling. I saw him holding his fifth taco up and his hand was shaking, but he was barely able to get his fifth taco down. And then the sixth taco.
He reached out the second hand like Trump.
Yeah, he did that. That was the fifth.
The water.
The sixth taco, that was pure emotional eating there. Like all he was trying to do was numb the pain.
Just
with
bury
the
it.
Yeah, he was eating his
tacos.
It's
just muscle memory. Yeah.
Bury it in a crispy value taco.
Ten Del Taco tacos. Okay. And by the way, not for the Little League team. 10 tacos for Dawson's head.
I offered Chris one.
Okay.
True.
He gladly turned it down.
One for the DH.
All right. So the way one for the DH. So the way the game ended with controversy was Gina thought she'd chimed in first. Brian swore he chimed in first. I ended up winning on Anaconda.
Yeah,
because
sort of.
Even though I was down on points, I pulled it out in the end.
You ended up winning when it was just between Brian
that
and
was
I.
That a real come-from-behind victory.
Right.
Yeah, for real.
But as we checked the tape, it appeared that Brian clearly had spoken before Gina. Mm-hmm.
It was shocking.
Which was not Gina's recollection. Or
and
really
I said, how could
ours.
I have missed that?
Right. It was very pronounced.
How indeed.
All right. So do we have a tape?
Yeah, we're gonna do just a little bit of audio here to refresh everyone's memory. At a Catskills resort,
Gina, Dirty Dancing
from 1987, and for the win, it is Dirty Dancing.
Play the tape back.
That is horse shit. We can play the tape back. There is
play the tape back.
Okay, so pretty clear. We heard Gina first there, but Brian protested. Mm-hmm. So we went back to the tape, and we replayed the tape during the news. Mm-hmm. Now, I had edited this out of the show. I listened to it. I originally stated that it was absolutely clear who won, did not point in any direction, but it didn't turn out how I thought it did. So here's what happened later. A teenage girl vacationing for the summer.
Pete.
Brian.
Blame it on Rio.
At a Catskills.
I heard
Brian. That one, I didn't hear it on the first one. I heard it on the second one.
A different version.
Heard Brian clearly right there, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if y'all will watch the video of that moment in the show, I want you to watch Brian.
Okay.
Please.
A teenage girl vacationing for the summer.
Pete.
Brian.
Blame it on Rio.
At a Catskills resort.
Gina.
Do you guys all see that?
Yes.
I yawned. That was a yawn.
Did you see Brian say Brian after protesting and knowing that he lost the game?
Put Brian in. He put it in post.
He said his name. Now, we were all listening with our eyes closed.
Yes, we were.
Intellectually honest with the game. Brian cheated.
You know, I got
Brian
a lot going
cheated,
on.
And he continued right now, to protest.
That could have very easily been a hiccup.
This makes every single win Brian has ever gotten in the Rotten Tomatoes game spurious at best.
Yes,
asterisk.
I am shining
asterisk
a light.
All of them.
Let's look at his minus 16 under a magnifying glass for a while.
That's right.
Hey, Brian, remember when you were 16 and you had a little thing called character? And you wouldn't take tips at the grocery store? What happened between now and then?
Well, he did have one woman stuff something into his bra.
That's true.
He did keep that one.
It was a smock.
Brian cheated.
Yeah.
And he continued to protest throughout the end of the show. None of us caught it. Now we know. Brian, all 10 middle fingers.
Oh, man.
I hang my head in shame.
Brian.
All right. Well,
Brian, I have defended you so many times for the last 6 years. I tell people constantly, yes, he's smug. Yes, he's selfish. Yes, he's a jerk.
You can skip past this part.
Yes, he only cares about himself.
He
loves to put people down, but he's honest. He's honest.
I thought that
and
too.
And now, you know what? I'm worried about myself because I don't know how I'm going to defend you now.
I thankfully never defend Brian, so
oh,
I'm staying I'm staying on brand.
Oh,
also, well, you can join Pete Rose at the next memorabilia signing, Brian, because you've been banished from the league. You will not be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
It's like when a prosecutor gets found out for, like, say he was doing drugs while he was prosecuting cases or something.
Right.
Every single case that he prosecuted is now under intense scrutiny.
Mm. So, oh, yeah, we got
to go back. Every game Brian ever played, Brian, you're minus 16, means shit now.
Not only here. We're talking Connect Four games from the early 90s.
Uno.
Who wants to be a millionaire indeed?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you got to call that into question.
Now we're going to have to get representation. We're going to have to send notices to all your young friends. They're all maybe part of a class action lawsuit.
That's right.
Contract tracing.
And he continued throughout the entire show. He just continued to protest. And he knew all
you
along
know, I
that's
knew
part of the
he
disease.
Cheated. I knew something was suspicious when he said, I'll happily share this with Gina. He's never happily shared anything with me.
Okay, well, this opens the door nicely for me to say two things. One, I've won many Rotten Tomatoes games in front of live audiences, so I don't know if you need to call those into question.
They may be part of the lawsuit.
Yeah.
That's true.
No, everything's in question.
They're entitled to compensation.
You're right. You can't possibly, in all seriousness, I was fucking around. I thought it was very obvious when I said Brian, because I know I'm on camera. And then when Dawson said... It was the result was very obvious to me. I'm like, all right, well, I obviously lost. But then he didn't say anything. I was like, shit, maybe I won. Like, because I didn't hear the tape, I was saying my name, Brian. So I was kind of, I hope you recognize that I was kind of on board with the tongue in cheek cheating. I wasn't actually trying to
put
forward
that
I was
liar.
I was just joking.
Bullshit. Unacceptable. Yeah. If was the truth, you would have said it.
Well,
during the show, you would have let
but
us
we
know.
But we all went along with it, so I thought you all...
You're a liar and a cheater. End of story.
It's all and academic I because I won anyway.
No,
all right.
Sir!
Anaconda.
No, sir!
Anaconda. Yeah. Max Pata.
I'll share the second place with Gene.
Slippery slope guy. What's I asked three
they're
times
they're
off the
right
air.
Now. I had a screen.
All right, put it on...
I know. I won't put it on your screen till it's ready to play. I don't want you to call out for him if
well,
it's on
just
your
say
screen.
Not ready yet or something on there because I'm looking at the I don't know what the status is. All right, so we pulled we got a couple more of those to play you guys. Also, there's a interesting there's a couple interesting things. Let's see what I wrote down here. All right, here's a thought. I made Dr. Drew laugh earlier today because I was retelling this story about my nephews and being born in Germany and the stupid tattletale people.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny. The tattletale people used to be a pretty small tribe in this country. You know, back when I did Loveline, some friend of my sister's or something would hear an episode and then say to my sister, I just thought you should know what your brother said about your kids on the whatever. And they'd always twist it. You know, it went from...
Make it worse.
By the way, go from not anything to actually something, which is... And this is kind of an interesting... This is kind of an interesting thing, too, in the New World Order. You know, in 1998... I would say, hey, I'm not responsible for slavery. None of my family was here during slavery. No Corollas ever owned a slave. They never even owned land. I mean, they were apartment dwellers. So, why am I on the hook for slavery? And then I said, my three nephews were born in Germany. What's that make them? Hitler Youth? I mean, they're not responsible for the Holocaust just because they were born to a German father. And then, of course, that then gets twisted into calling them Hitler Youth, which is actually the opposite of what I'm saying is they have no responsibility for this atrocity. But, of course, it gets twisted. And now there used to be a small group of people who did that. Now it's game on. I mean,
it's encouraged.
It's just a large group of people twisting stuff and tattling and pushing it out there. And sadly, we jumped the shark with dudes. This used to be ladies who lunch territory. This was not dude territory.
This was the yenta in everybody's business.
Right. We've turned a bunch of middle-aged white dudes into yentas. This is the fucking scary part. All right. But I the joke that Drew liked is as I was explaining that my dad would have never owned a slave. As a matter of fact, if he was on a plantation, he would be in the house like as a slave, and he wouldn't even be a slave. He would be an indentured bottom. He would be there to have non-consensual sex with any gay suitors that showed up to the house.
Happen to pass through.
And he'd definitely be a bottom. And Drew loved indentured bottom. He told me to write that down. We also found out that indentured starts with an I, not an E. That was a revelation, too.
We found that out.
Drew found that out. Gary found that out. And I found that out. So okay. Gary and Drew are on the hook, too, for the ein and indentured.
Wow.
Hey, you know, when you talk about tattletales and how normal it is and adults and everybody, you know what the social media version of that is, specifically the Twitter version? And Brian, you may be more familiar with this just because you're on Twitter as much as I am. First of all, when you delete something that you don't want to have out there anymore, that it was, you know, out of context and you just take it down, that's called dirty deleting. So it's like there's no honor because you deleted it. And the comeback for that is when somebody screenshots it, they put hashtag screenshots for days. No matter how much you try to delete it, I have screenshots for days.
Great. That's, good for you.
Yeah, that's very much a part of the vernacular now.
All right. So that's going to lead to you having a miserable life. So let's see if we can get away from that. Also, Max Zapata has Slippery Slope Guy. We got three. We got conjugal visits, driver's license for illegal aliens, and physician-assisted suicide.
Oh, my.
And here we go.
And now, an editorial from Slippery Slope Guy on conjugal visits.
Do conjugal visits for prisoners make sense? Maybe. But it's a slippery slope. First, the guy who's bounced a couple of checks is allowed to see his wife 1 weekend a month. Then the next thing you know, the BTK killer is banging stewardesses 5 at a time on 600 thread count sheets, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
And now we got driver's licenses for illegal aliens. I can't say anymore.
And now, an editorial from Slippery Slope Guy on driver's licenses for illegal aliens.
Do these people need some form of ID? Of course. But it's a slippery slope. First, they're giving Pedro a driver's license. Then they're giving him a medical license. And the next thing you know, he's the president's personal physician, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Forgot about the BTK killer.
Yeah. All right. And physician-assisted suicide.
And now an editorial from Slippery Slope Guy on physician-assisted suicide.
Should the family of a terminally ill person have the right to take them off of life support? Maybe. But it's a slippery slope. One day you're removing the breathing tube from a brain-dead 90-year-old. Then the next thing you know, your perfectly healthy 13-year-old goes in for his Pop Warner physical, and the doctor snuffs his life out with a pillow, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
You make some fair points.
I don't want that.
There should be a station dedicated to Slippery Slope Guy. I should do more of those.
Yeah, he needs to come back.
He needs to come back. All right. So Brad Williams is coming in here. Here's a theory. I've been floating theories often lately. I was talking to Dr. Drew about it, which is we're kind of talking about empathy. And we've talked about empathy on the show where it's like some people are empathic. Some people have more empathy. Some people seem to have less. Some people have kind of emotional empathy. I don't have the emotional empathy, but I have empathy in terms of I don't like holding up people. I don't like people waiting for me. I don't like, you know, I don't want to inconvenience people. When somebody, when they say to me every time, you know, what do you want to do for Easter? You want to do the show in the morning or you want to do the show in the afternoon, like after everyone's done? The first thing I say is just go ask everybody.
The first thing you say is defer to Gina.
defer to Gina. Find out what people want to do, and then that's what we'll do. This is why I don't want to say we're doing it at 10 a.m. if you guys all have some sort of brunch on your calendar. I've never want to do it. I'll do it at 6 p.m. I'll do it after brunch. So not emotionally, but sort of practically. But here's a thought. I had to kind of work it out with Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is very empathetic. He's a very empathetic person. He's just sensitive that way. He really is. And I started noticing that Dr. Drew is never late, ever, ever. I have traveled the nation with the man. He will not, doesn't matter what time you're meeting in the lobby, he's sitting in the lobby waiting for you. And we think of being on time or being prompt or being late as its own sort of characteristic that kind of lives in a bubble. Like that person's always late or that person's super prompt. But I started realizing when Drew was explaining himself, he said, I have too much empathy. I can't stand someone waiting for me. I can't stand it, he said. The thought of somebody waiting for me drives me nuts. And I realized it's not prompt. He's empathic. He yeah. does not want anybody who has that kind of wiring who meets someone at a restaurant and you're 8 minutes late, pictures the person sitting there like wondering, should they order a drink for both of you or whatever it is. So the people now will reverse engineer this. The people who are late constantly, maybe it isn't that they're late. Maybe they're not empathic.
Interesting.
I could buy that. Yeah, you ought to consider that. Like, I'm that way with like restaurants, weirdly. Like, when Chrissy and I go out to dinner back in the old days, I'd be like, we got to get reservations at 6. Got to get there as close to 6 as possible. They'll let you show up at 6:15. But in my mind, I'm like, hey, there's a hostess. There's a manager. They have people coming in at 8 or whatever it is. Like, I don't want to put them off their schedule, which is ridiculous. They have 50 tables, but that's how my mind works.
So who do you know? So think about late people now, and then can you be an empathic person and constantly late, like constantly making people wait on you and kind of screwing up schedules and kind of, you know, and here's the opposite of empathic. Late people, you have to constantly like say like, look, I'm going to come pick you up, but I'm going to honk once. Okay, I'll call before I leave. I'll call. I'm picking you up at 6 a.m. for the airport, but I'll call you at 5. I'll call you at 5:30 to make sure.
God, relax.
Yeah.
What do you take me for?
You know, so you, it's the opposite of being empathic, right?
Well, yes. Yes, and I'll do you one better, depending on the kind of late people you've had in your life. They will double down. It's not, they're 15 minutes late. Sorry, let's get started. Apologies. It's, now you have to devote another 15 minutes to making them feel better about the fact that they were late. You have to hear about their traffic or their problems or what they went through. And it's doubling down on the drama and the time wasting and the disrespect of the situation.
I agree. Is that a bit of an empathetic quality where you're like, the late person will attempt to sort of put that feeling on, like, I'm so sorry. I would have been on time, but there was this traffic accident, this blah, blah, blah. There's, you know, people outside the car. Like, the story kind of assuages right. that responsibility.
So not only am I waiting here with my dick in my hand for a half an hour, but now I have to feel sorry for you?
Yeah, it may be a very root, basic core of empathy, maybe the ultimate empathy, because you're forced, if you're late and you're empathic, you're forced to think about that person sitting there waiting for you. Mm-hmm. But if you're not empathic, then you're not going to think about what that person is doing sitting there waiting for you. You're just going about your business, your day. So maybe late and maybe prompt, I can for sure tell you that Drew's promptness is his empathy. It's his empathic side. And it's not, the more I think about prompt, you know, what is late and what is prompt? You know what I mean? It's just an action. It's just an action that speaks of someone's sort of mindset, right? Yeah. It's not like I'm late because I'm late. I'm late because I'm choosing to, essentially, or I don't care enough about that person to show up at the right time. So maybe chronic tardiness and all that kind of stuff. And there's kind of a disorganization factor as well. Don't get me wrong, but maybe it's the ultimate empathy or lack thereof, depending on which one you are. You should all think about people in your world and think if there's a correlation there. All right. You'll tell us when Brad Williams shows up.
Yeah, it looks like he's pulling in right now.
He's pulling in right now. I'm obsessed with the side of the freeway, as you guys know, on this back street near where our studio is. And I was taking a walk over to the other shop with Dr. Drew, and Drew gave the mouth a babe. So, and we'll put these pictures up and the TiVo game up at AdamCarolla.com.
Oh, yeah.
So the first picture is from 9 months ago where they just stripped the entire side of the freeway. It's a 20-foot embankment, and they just took it. And they just dragged a big rake over it. They got all the weeds. They got all the spare tires. They got all the garbage. They literally just stripped it. They went in there. Their landscapers went in there and stripped it. And then they planted these sort of sapling or sort of 6 foot high pepper trees every 15 foot. And they put them about 4 feet from the top of the embankment. And the bottom of the embankment is just dirt. So the next picture you'll see is when they started watering everything. And when they started watering, they didn't use drip irrigation. They shot sprinkler heads from the very bottom up to the top to hit the trees. But the problem is most of the water just sort of matriculated down to the bottom, and all this bizarre sort of weed stuff started growing. Well, I took a picture an hour ago when I was walking by there with Dr. Drew, and now the entire place is just grown over with weeds because the water's done. And Drew just looked. You know, Drew did like a mouth of babes thing where he goes, "Why don't we just do what Arizona does? I don't get why we're spraying water everywhere. It's just the weeds are growing." And I'm like, "Yeah," and he's like, "But." He looked at me and he said, "Well, what did they think was going to happen? What did they think the plan was? They were going to put trees up at the top, squirt them from 20 feet away, and no ground cover, no ground cloth, no weed cloth, no gravel, no nothing all the way down the hill. And the entire fucking hill is now 7 foot high with crazy weeds. By the way, the fence to get on that freeway is 6 foot high. The weed is shooting well past it. The weed is like 9 feet tall.
Yeah,
you can't
nine.
Even find the tree anymore. It takes a minute.
What is the plan? Who's in charge? How does this work? And by the way, it's either why I could never be in, I should be in charge of everything, or I could never be in charge of anything. Because if I was in charge of this, I would be going out of my fucking mind. It, 1 year from now, it shall return to just a field of weeds. Now, obviously, there's no way to avoid this with whatever it is they're doing. Do we want to avoid it? Do we want it to be good? Like, do we want to save water? We're watering weeds, essentially. I thought we're in a drought area. Like, is there any, do you guys have any thoughts about the plan could be?
It's funny you mentioned what the plan could be. So the answer either way is stupidity. But I'm wondering, do you think there's a world where this was intentional and they just want green? Like they don't care about how it looks or that it's weeds. They're just like, just make it green, you know, and spray the whole thing. And like, God, take over.
No, you can't. And I'll tell you why. Because the green shall be green while they're watering it. Wait till the summer hits. The green turns brown. Those weeds you see by the side of the freeway, those big old giant, everything's just going to turn brown because it's going to get 109 degrees out here and it's all going to die. It's all in its kind of growth period right now.
Right,
but that
right.
big green, tall, big behemoth of a super weed, that thing's just going to be a big old brown pile the whole thing is just going to be a big fucking brown pile in 5 months. That's the weird part. But again, this is what you do when you spend other people's money. This is not what you do when it's your money.
This seems passive aggressive, because we're always talking about stupid or lazy. And in a way, you know, Brian's argument's kind of, he's going with stupid. I'm going with lazy, because all this stuff is like, happy now? We did that thing. Are you happy now? But they walk away from it and nothing's changed. So it does feel very passive aggressive.
It is incompetence, but it's also, you have to incentivize people to be competent. Sadly, I mean, when you look, like if you go down to Roscoe or whatever and Galpin Ford buys the side of the thing and is in charge of the side of the freeway, it's fucking meticulous. It looks beautiful. It's like, yep, we're a company. This is what we do. We paid for it, or we're going to handle this. You would never do this. Nobody who ever planted any of this shit, and none of the city officials would ever do this on any property they owned. It'd be fucking clinically insane, right? I mean, you're literally making weeds because you're watering the weeds. The first thing I figured out when I started buying houses is you can't water. If you water it, the trees have grown 7 millimeters in the last 9 months. The weeds have went from 0 to 11 feet. The fucking weeds have grown 11 feet in like 7 months. The fucking trees look exactly the same as they were. Now, to be fair, the trees can't grow because the water can't reach them anymore, because the water's at the bottom of the hill. It's a foot off the ground, and it's spraying the side of the weeds now.
It's a gravity issue.
And Too Tall Jones is knocking the water down.
Right. What other cities run this way? And then my feeling is, it's like, we're in Los Angeles. Aren't we supposed to do things? I don't, well, maybe homeless people will start growing out of the ground.
I've spent all my time, and I mean every second of it, in the Valley these days. All of it. But I ended up for something the other day for the little Halloween parade at the kids' school in West Hollywood, which used to be my territory. Those are my people. That's my neighborhood. It's been so long. I felt so out of place. And Adam, I had that old one of your monologues just going through my head. I'm driving down the street on Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood. It's gorgeous. It looks like Disneyland. This is a heavily gay area. Everybody takes care of the neighborhood. It is pristine. And then I drive back to my side of town, and it's very different. But it was nice just to drive down a nice street for 5 minutes.
We need... there's something, maybe in 50 years we'll all be chicks, but I do cover this stretch of Santa Monica and the gays. Here's what we need to do. My sister bought a house in Silver Lake in 1996 for like $114,000. It was a shack and a piece of shit, but it was still in Silver Lake. Silver Lake had a lot of gangbangers back then.
Yeah.
Some point, the gays moved in.
Yes.
Now, it's great. We need to do with the gays what they do with, like, indigenous insects, where they got to drop them off here so they can release them so they can kill the aphid population, which is destroying the corn crop. You know what I'm saying?
We make it beautiful again.
Right. So I got to go down to WeHo, and I got to go, look, you guys are at about 86% gay right now. Feels like 110, but about 86%. North Hollywood, where I'm from, is less than 4% gay.
We're at a deficit.
Bordering on negative.
Yeah, we need some sharecroppers. We need wagons hoe. We need some of you to go west and cultivate the land there. We need to take, we'll, we'll get, We'll give you like 40 acres and a butt plug or something, but we got to get you over to this area because this area is fucking trashy. The first thing you realize about that area is gays aren't messy people. They're not trashy people. They don't fucking throw shit over their shoulder when they're done with it. They don't throw wrappers and whatnot. So it's like, and also you realize the city is totally incompetent wherever you go. It's all about the people. If everyone wants to just fucking make their lawn look like a putting green and doesn't want any of the paint blistering on their fascia, if everyone just did it, everyone just cleaned up their front fucking space and didn't litter, then the whole place would look like that.
That's what it would look like, yeah.
And that's what you get with WeHo. Yes.
At the risk of being obvious, the city does this in some. It might be a. By the way, where you are is in Glendale, which is its own incorporated city, so maybe that's the difference. But LA does this a lot, and it looks okay. I mean, better than what you showed us. Why not just go with ice plant? It's a weed. It never grows high. It never grows up more than like your shin. It's native to California. Why don't they just plant this everywhere?
These are all over the South Bay, and they are beautiful.
Yeah, they're in the west side.
They come in every color.
And they're a weed.
It's succulents, like a great ground cover.
Yeah, succulent.
It shows up somewhere, some places. I don't know. See, the problem is I keep going, what's the plan? And the answer is, oh, there's no plan. The plan is we spend money on shit and goes back. They literally tilled the entire side of this freeway. They cleared it all of all these weeds, and within 1 year it shall just return to exactly what it was. All right, so we got Brad Williams out there, and we'll give you some time, but we'll see if we can find that audio version.
It's in 50 years. I'll be checked. I just got scrubbed through the
okay.
audio.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back with our favorite comedian Brad Williams right after this.
The Adam Carolla Show presents Brad Williams' Birthday Cocktail Party for January 13th. Let's see who's here. From Unsolved Mysteries, Robert Stack. Charles Nelson Reilly. And he brought Rip Taylor. Those two were actually born on the same day in 1931. Yes, guitarist Trevor Rabin. Bassist from The Pretenders, Malcolm Foster. From Squeeze, Dawn Snow. Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Patrick Dempsey. Liam Hemsworth. And Orlando Bloom. Brad Williams is on The Adam Carolla Show.
Pretty good birthday, Brad.
I love that Rip Taylor and Charles Nelson Reilly are born on the same day.
That's crazy.
That is pretty awesome.
It's basically, other than Trump, that's all of Alec Baldwin's best characters on SNL. That's great. That's great.
I love that. God was like, we need to make the world 18% more gay.
Yep.
Wouldn't that be a gay holiday?
I can only do it with two souls. Well, he stroked his beard. You know, my work is cut out for me.
Right. Let's see. How can we pack? And I'm sure gays have said this very sentence. How can we pack as much gay as possible into a tiny space?
I thought you were going to say fudge, but all right. by the way, that is to the gay movement what LeBron James is to coming to your team. You know what I mean? Like, you don't think one guy can make a difference?
Oh, they can.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we should all throw some glitter in honor
of Rip Taylor.
Rip Taylor, the great Rip Taylor.
Mm.
R.I.P.
So Brad Williams,
yes.
Virtual stand-up show coming up Saturday, November 14th at 7 p.m. Tickets available at rushtix.com. Let's talk about how that works.
Yeah, man. I'm doing the virtual stand-up show because I have a manager that even if I'm not touring, he wants me to keep working, and he will find any gig. Mm-hmm. I believe my manager has been on this podcast. His name is Barry Katz.
Mm.
And he has a very specific sounding voice. Mm. He comes on like,
I know it's the pandemic, Brad Williams, but don't worry. I got you on a rooftop in Escondido, man.
Yes.
And one of the things that my manager...
Hey, Chinaman, we don't like that.
What was that? Wrong.
No, I was looking for Jay Moore's China drop, and I picked up the wrong one.
Jay Moore. Yeah, Jay Moore does... Yes. Killer Barry.
If you are represented by Barry Katz, you must do the impersonation of Barry Katz. I think it's a rule. And one thing that he will do is that he will always try to sell you on the gig, but not in the best way.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, okay, there's a bar where they're doing stand-up, and are you ready for this? Ray Don Chong has performed at this bar. Right. And you're like, okay, I'm sold, Barry. But he has
Adam, have you ever been to China?
There
All
he
right.
is!
All right, play it clean. Wait. Let's hear it.
Okay, hold on, here it is.
Adam, have you ever been to China?
Okay, so that's Jay doing Barry Katz. That's right. So now you see my reference point.
So you were doing the stand-up physically. Where will you be?
I will be in my house. I will I will be in my man cave. And this offers all of the fans that have not been able to come see me or live in another country or just can't go out because of mm-hmm. COVID. This offers them a chance to be able to be entertained. I will do about an hour of stand-up, and then I'm doing a virtual. We talked about our birthday cocktail party. I'm doing a virtual cocktail party afterward. I'll make myself a drink. I'll sit down, and then I'll answer questions. If you want to tour the house, okay. If you want to see the dog that I ride occasionally because he's an 80-pound pit bull. If you want to see the Asian dwarf baby.
The only reason they're sticking around is to see the baby.
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
wants to see the baby.
Absolutely. They just want to see what an Asian dwarf baby looks like, who actually shares my birthday. She was born on my birthday.
Oh, really?
So that'll be her birthday cocktail party as well.
Well, good on her. Did she, you said off the air, she spit out her first couple of words.
Yeah. Looked at me, said, Daddy, I win.
Oh, really?
Ha! Ha! Oh, yeah. It's the best. I win that competition.
Oh, yeah.
So I have that over my wife for the rest of time.
Has your wife been going back to work?
No, she has not been. And so now we're both kind of at home taking care of the kid, which is there's never a good time for a pandemic ever. But if we had to pick a time during her first year of life, she's almost 10 months old. Yeah, that'd probably be the time where I'd want to be home and be there so I could see her stare at me and say daddy for the first time and stuff like that.
Is your wife home because of the childbirth or the pandemic?
Both, I don't know.
Why choose?
Yeah, childbirth, pandemic, husband continues to make money even though we're in all two of those things. Yes, all three of these are a factor.
Have you been touring at all?
Yeah, I've done a few shows. It's weird. The comics that are touring, I feel like we're all going to the same spots. Like mm-hmm. we're all going to Nashville, we're all going to Salt Lake City, we're all going mm-hmm. to Texas, we're mm-hmm. all going to these states that are open and the clubs that are allowed to be open. I was actually one of the first to go back out. Me
yes.
and Jeff Dye. He went to Utah. I went to Bricktown Comedy Club in Oklahoma City.
Mm.
And what I found is it's been awesome. It's been great because the people that come out are really excited to be there. They're starved for some live entertainment, so they've been fantastic audiences. And I've had a great time. But if people don't want to go out, I completely understand that. And so I'm offering entertainment November 14th, rushticks.com. Come see a virtual show.
Well, it's been kind of a sort of win-win because for me, I've been going out and doing the shows, but I've mm-hmm. also enjoyed going out to a restaurant, like going yeah. inside of the restaurant. I got my first two or three haircuts in Texas. You know, like I got a massage.
I think that was a country song, wasn't it? Like, yeah. I got my hair cut in Texas. The bitch is back in Cali.
That's right. I would book, like I'd go, I'm going to get a haircut, I'm going to get a massage, and we're going out to a steak meal like after the show, just because you don't realize how much you miss that shit until it gets taken away.
Oh, Absolutely. Just the simplest things. Like, I'm very fortunate in that terms of the neighborhood where we live. A lot of the homes have kids that are under two. And so we're all taking it pretty seriously. And just having that human contact to be able to walk out and like have like a neighbor kind of block party is real. Like, you didn't think, I wouldn't think that I would enjoy that. Cause they're right. they're not comedians. They're not people I can like really speak too honestly to, because I'll make some offensive jokes.
Let's be honest. There is a little bit of a burden to being super duper clever like me and Brad. When you talk to your wife's high school friends and then you meet their husband who works at an aluminum supply house, it's like, what are we? He wants to talk about the Titans season this year.
Yeah.
And it's like, boy.
Yeah.
Like, I know I sound like a super snob, but comedians are not only make their living with their thoughts and their words.
Sure.
But you get used to like hanging around with guys like Jimmy Kimmel. And what's coming out of their mouth is so fucking interesting all the time. And their hot takes and big fucking laughs. And then all of a sudden, your mom has a friend and thinks you guys are going to hit it off.
Yeah.
And it's like, boy.
Oh,
it's like getting off the people mover at the airport. Like, oh,
right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That step, that first step.
We had a moment because I'm not really talking to that many people. I'm staying in and things. So, we had a moment where the neighbors were in the backyard and I started offering my take on I wouldn't say it was controversial. I thought it was funny.
Right.
And I started making a joke and my wife from inside the house did the okay, moving on. Brad, let's talk about something else now.
Right. Right.
Who wants cheese? Who doesn't want cheese?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a two-way street. It is you being bored by the super pedestrian people you're forced to talk to that you basically got into comedy to avoid these people.
Yes.
The whole reason you moved
and
got out of your fucking house and started hanging around at the comedy store
is for this
reason.
Yeah.
And then there's a second one, which is, when you start telling sort of pedestrians your weird fucking take on life and your stories and things from your twisted mind that would make Jimmy laugh his ass off.
Right.
The dental hygienist from Encino does not share his sensibilities.
Oh, I know. I just remember what it was. It was because we both have daughters, and they were talking about dating one day, and then I just chimed in with because my daughter is a little person, so I was like, well, I hope as long as she dates another dwarf, that's right. All I care about. Right. Just date another, like, I don't care what gender you date, what I don't care, date another dwarf. And they're like, why do you want? Because it's like I can intimidate another dwarf coming into my house.
Right.
Like a dwarf comes in and be like, hey, you know, I want to take your daughter. I can look at a dwarf and be like, what's up, bitch? Like, you know what I mean? Like, right. I can do that. But like a tall guy, and this is the line where my wife yelled out, is I go, yeah, if like a tall dude comes out and says, hey, I'm, can I take your daughter out? I'd be like, ah, okay.
Right. Yeah, nothing like, you can do.
There's nothing I can do. Have her home when you're done. You know, right. And then... That's all I could do. There's nothing I could do. And that's when my wife was like, oh, okay, geez, we have hors d'oeuvres. We have.
Yes. It's such a burden being clever. It's such a burden.
And I haven't been able to do that many shows. So I'm just like, I'm soaking in every opportunity to talk to people and like do jokes and try bits. And like, this is how people don't realize, like, and this is what I found out doing all this in quarantine, is that I didn't realize how much I tried my bits out in front of people. Like I don't do the thing of, hey guys, tell me if this is funny. I'll just slip the joke into a conversation and see if it gets any kind of reaction. And I started doing that around my neighbors, and that's when I realized, like, oh, that's not going to make me very popular.
Yeah. I was just having a thought, which is, my daughter, who's 14, has a ton. She's at that age where it's just like, dad, dad, no, yeah. dad, whatever.
And everything's shitty.
Everything is shitty and yeah. everything is, no, dad, don't talk. Don't just, please, just drive us to In-N-Out. Don't even.
Yeah.
And I have this, first off, it's an audience. It's an audience of 14-year-olds.
Sure.
They're in my house. I had 8 kids over the other day. And I've also deemed my, I've labeled, I've dubbed myself Cool Dad. You know what I mean? I'm Cool Dad because my dad was such a fucking flatliner and my mom such a perpetual bummer
yeah.
that I was like, I went to other people's houses and it's like, uh-oh, Mr. Vendig's home. Oh, he's pissed. You know, they're like,
right.
everybody's
dad,
scatter.
Everyone's fucking dad was
yeah,
pissed. And like
that.
Them walking in to like, excuse you, are those your Wheat Thins? Did
yeah.
you purchase those? Did you bring them from your home? Because I purchased them so I can consume them. It's like, okay.
It's like, why'd you ask? You know the answer.
Right.
You know I'm not going to come back with, yes, I've actually been in the mines.
I had, you know, friends, all my parents' friends were like, all my friends' parents, I should say, were like uptight, angry, you couldn't get busted in the kitchen or whatever.
And your parents' friends, to be fair.
Yeah, everyone is just, ugh. So I was like, I'm going to be Cool Dad.
Yeah.
I'm going to be Fun Dad. Mm-hmm. I'll just, when the kids come over, I'll fuck around with them. You know,
yeah.
tell them like which Simpsons character they look like or whatever, whatever it is, you know. So I had all these kids and they're all, so the kids love it. That's, they all laugh and have
yeah.
a good time and high five them and stuff. My daughter can't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in this weird position because I want to fucking have fun as Cool Dad. I want the kids to recognize Cool Dad. I want to have a good time as Cool Dad.
Right.
But I don't want my fucking daughter rolling her eyes every time I open my mouth.
Yeah. It's, during one of these, neighborhood meetings, I made a joke or whatever, and my wife kind of rolled her eyes and was like, oh, always with the jokes. And I'm like, yeah, always with
always
the jokes.
With the jokes.
What bought us the house?
I was right. going to say, do you like this house we're living in?
Yes, those are the jokes.
Yeah.
Jokes built this house.
Yes, I'm going to keep telling them.
Yeah. No, that's, I always used to say that to my wife. I go, you know, she'd go like, oh, stop talking. I go, oh, you better hope I don't stop talking. Yeah, car's going right, being repossessed.
Right.
We're
going to
live out in the street if I ever stop talking.
Yeah, and now with all the stuff with going on with the election and everything like that, sure, I'm trying to come up with comedic takes for that. And I say that, and she just goes, don't, just stop. Just stop with the jokes. And I'm like, no, this is what keeps this going.
Now, don't you wish when you were a kid, like, more parents, more like your friends' parents, like, joked around and
yeah.
had that sense of humor and
yeah.
like, a little lighter? Yes, Brian.
Not only that, but you remember just, like, I remember crystal clear the parents who were fun like that. Like,
yeah.
I liked being around them.
My dad was one of those guys. He was
oh,
fun.
Right.
He was fun. We had, I remember one time we had all the kids over, a bunch of my friends, and my mom made dinner, and part of the dinner was like it was like a steak dinner or whatever, and then my dad just said, I'll have mashed potatoes, nothing else, just mashed potatoes. So everyone has their dinner, my dad just has mashed potatoes, we all have our plates in front of us, and just we're gonna begin eating. My dad just goes, I'm tired, and face plants into the mashed potatoes.
Oh, that's a dad.
Mashed potatoes go everywhere. I'm sitting there like, hell yeah. Like, that made me happy. My sister, horrified. But I was like, there you go. So my dad was the jokester. And my friends to this day, like, still talk about that. I'm like, okay, that's the dad I'm going to be. I'm going to be, you know, like, and like you're saying, I'm going to be fun dad. I'm going to be the guy that's like, yeah, you come over, I'll have jokes, I'll say things, I'll have interesting conversations.
Now, I've brought this up before, but there's a big difference between you guys being the fun dad and the kind of fun dads, the guys who declare themselves the fun dads. When I was growing up, I told you they used to lure us into hot tubs with near beer.
Oh.
To declare themselves the fun
dads. That, whoa.
Wait,
that's,
wait, what?
Whoa.
Hey,
I told you that before.
You're reporting a crime on the air.
I told you that. Ah, come on. You guys want a beer? You love it. And it's an O'Doul's or whatever. And they were like, oh, fun dad.
Mm.
So thanks for not being the creepy kind.
No. There's professional fun dad, and then there's fun dad who's just drunk by 11 a.m. because he doesn't have a job. I don't want to be that fun dad. I want to be professional fun dad.
I was thinking about the house I grew up in had. my neighbor to the right, my neighbor to the left. They both had a kid about my age that I could play with and I became friends with. The neighbor to my left had super angry stepdad. Like, this dude was just uptight and angry and, you know, would come home and yell for the kid. It was stepdad, but the kid was scared shitless of him. And he was this weird, angry, humorless guy. And then the neighbor to the right, there was no dad, but his name was Hammer. And he lived in a deluxe van in Sun Valley.
Oh, boy.
So a little zero, little 0 for 2 there.
He's made some decisions.
With the with the Ace Man and the Fun Dad.
Man, I tell you, and as good as my dad was, we had a Fun Dad in our group of friends that may be the best kind of Fun Dad if you're a small boy, or like the way you've talked about Natalia, she probably would have liked this dad as well. Ramp Dad. Ramp Dad just builds ramps.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, oh, you got a skateboard? Let me build a ramp for that.
Oh, yeah. Nice. You know what? Fuck those kids, because I'm Master Carpenter Dad. Like,
yeah.
My daughter's like, I got a picture of a bed that's on a riser with the drawers built in. I go, all right. 3 days later, she's got a fucking custom bed with a riser on it and drawer and, like, stairs built in, because I just went to the garage and just fucking shat it out.
How great is that? Like, you want Ramp Dad, you want Carpenter Dad. A couple people in Hollywood have this. They have
Carpenter Dad can moonlight as Ramp Dad.
Yeah.
True.
It'd be easy.
And then sometimes in Hollywood, you have someone that is a special effects dad.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, every.
Works at Disney Dad.
Every Halloween, that's the house you go to.
That's right. Yeah. That's Burbank. All the special effects dads are in Burbank.
That's solid.
I had. I grew up with Rents Records from the Library Dad. I was yelling this at Drew the other day. Borrows. He literally, my dad was so poor and so cheap that he went to the fucking public library. Like, I really want to hear the new Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass album.
Yeah.
But I certainly don't have $4. So we're a bit of a crossroads here. Like, what do we do? He would then go to the library, and they would always be warped because people would leave them in the back of their car, and the sun would fuck them up. And so I would sit with that.
He thought every Herb Alpert record was psychedelic.
You know what?
Herb Alpert's trying to talk to the devil here.
Yeah. You know what there should be? You know how I always say that in order to catch the deadbeat dads, we do the thing where we go, we put a big sign in front of the Coliseum and we say free cockfight for Raiders fans, and then whoever shows up, we throw a net on them?
Yes.
The library should have that same policy for adults who would like to borrow records. Retroactively, obviously we can't do it now, but if you're a 41-year-old man, and you're going to the North Hollywood Library to look at their selection of records, your kids need to be removed. Yes. You're obviously incapable of providing.
Yes.
It's not going well.
This is not going well.
The library is for people who are legitimately trying to learn things and people trying to find a nice place to masturbate.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah. And
there's a crossover there.
And people are like, I like USA Today, but I wish it had a giant wicker stick attached to it.
That I can't get out the door.
I know. I was looking at one at the airport the other day going, where's that wicker stick?
I miss it.
I could barely concentrate. All right. Brad Williams is going to hang. We got the Rotten Tomatoes game to play with Brad.
Yes.
First, I'll tell you about J.B. Weld, proud sponsor of our show, JB Weld, great American adhesives and glue company. Hey, if you're Carpenter Dad or Ramp Dad, you're going to need some JB Weld, proudly manufactured in the USA since 1969. JB Weld can fix just about anything. I use their products all over the house. I just used their Super Weld. That's like the super glue stuff. I use the two-part epoxy all the time. JB Weld is they're investing in America. Just a year or so ago, they built a new state-of-the-art factory in Texas, and they're hiring, they're creating jobs, they're expanding across the U.S. and around the world. for big or small adhesive projects with strength and when strength really matters. Do it right with J.B. Weld. J.B. Weld's available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. It is J.B. Weld, man. All right, so we'll take a quick break. We will come back and play the Rotten Tomatoes game with Brad Williams right after this.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.